Well, welcome, ladies. We are blessed. Finally, we have started. Are you thrilled? Yay. It took a little longer. We waited a few extra weeks so that our new campus could get up and we'd have opportunity to let those gals get registered. And so with that, we're blessed to get the show on the road here and get started with our 2 Corinthians study. So there's so many new faces. What a blessing. I just popped in the fellowship hall, saw the mommies with their babies, and so I just want to say welcome. I'm Michelle Randall, Pastor John's wife, and for those of you who don't know me, I will be your teacher for the next, I don't know how many weeks, until we're done. So blessed to be here with you, ladies, but let's start by praying first. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of fellowship, God, and gathering together with your women, Lord. You say that iron sharpens iron, and our desire is that you would sharpen us first, and then we could sharpen each other, God. So, Lord, I thank you for these ladies. I thank you that they took a step of faith to come and meet new people and to be in your word, to grow in our relationship with you, to become more like you, and to meet other ladies that they can fellowship with. So, Lord, we pray for your anointing and your blessing upon this time. I thank you for these gals, and we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to our Monday nights. Our Monday nights will be watching this as well. So welcome Monday nights. Welcome anybody who's watching online as well. So we have an extended audience. It's not just you. We have other people watching as well. So that's another thing, too. If you are unable to make it to Bible study, we always archive all of the teaching. Also, if you're unable to attend, which we encourage you to be here physically, but if you cannot physically be here, then we have it streamed live, so you can watch live as well. So we're trying to make it available as much as possible, but since there's so many of you that I do not know, I thought maybe I should just introduce myself and say a little bit about myself. Obviously, I'm Pastor John's wife of 22 years, and the mother of our 4 children. We have Jake, who's 21, and Josiah, who's 17. Joel will be 15 in a week, and Faith is 10. So blessed to have our kids. I've been walking with the Lord for 27 years. 20 of those years, I have been a pastor's wife. So before I was a pastor's wife, I taught elementary school, where I met my husband. He was my janitor, and I say my because he was very attentive to me. after meeting, we were engaged 19 days later, so it was very quick. We met and knew right away that happens, and we were married 6 months later and pregnant within 7 months and in the ministry before we delivered our first son. So John had just turned 20. So a lot has happened in a short amount of time. It seems like that's how the Lord works in our lives as far as mine and John's, you know. It just, everything has happened very quickly, but a lot has happened since that time. We've moved 8 times. We've lived in 6 different cities, 2 different states. We've moved 3,000 miles away, planted a Calvary Chapel, moved 3,000 miles back to, we lived there for 10 years, had 2 children there, 2 children here, moved 3,000 miles back to Southern California, the place that we have called home. But you know, as I was thinking about where we call home, I was convinced that, and I am now more so, that home is not where your heart is. I know we have those plaques that we have in our home and we see them, but home is not where your heart is, because there's a lot of times that I've moved places and my heart was not there. Home is where the Lord is. Home is wherever the Lord is directing you. When you are in his perfect will, that is home. So it may not feel like home right away, and many times in our moves it didn't, but the Lord always made it sure to me over a period of time that this is where he had led us, so this is where home is. But for believers, you know, we're called to have a light touch on this world, aren't we? because this is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. In the meantime, while we are here in this earthly home, we are to be about our Father's business. And you know, John and I have made it our aim in life to do just that, to be about our Father's business. We have planted a church, we have taken over a church, and now we've entered taken another adventure of faith, and we have stepped out to have two separate churches, two locations, I should say, with one church. So we now have stepped out in faith to have an extension campus in San Clemente. So we have two churches, one church, with two separate locations. So the Lord has called us to do a lot of different things, and we find in life that he does that, doesn't he? Doesn't he stretch you and call you to do something that you feel like you are not even equipped to do? But we know that the Lord has not called the equipped, right? But he equips the called. So we're all called in different aspects of our life, and he does the equipping for us. It's good when you feel like you can't do it, isn't it? Because then we know that he does it in and through us. But I've learned a lot these last 22 years. And my conclusion, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. All the pain, all the hurt, all the trials, all this process of becoming transformed into the image of Jesus is all worth it. All the moves, everything has been worth it. I would not take it back, because it has confirmed to me what Paul will share with us this year in 2 Corinthians, that we are truly being transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, the author of 2 Corinthians, knew trials very well. And in this letter that we will discover this year, it was one of his most transparent letters that he has ever written. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord." It's all about transformation. You know, it's the caterpillar and the butterfly thing. That's what this is all about. This life as a believer, as a Christian, is all about being changed. All the trials, all the storms, all the difficult times, all the ups and the downs and the mountaintop experiences and the valleys, they are all part of the big picture, which is to make us like Jesus. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing that we can see the big picture? And even though we're in a difficult time, we need to step out for a moment and just look in and see what Jesus is trying to do in and through our life. It's a privilege and an honor to serve Jesus. And at any moment, we all know that the Lord could lift us up or he could set us down. The key, and we'll see in 2 Corinthians, is humility. C.S. Lewis said that true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. We need to do that, don't we? We need to think of ourselves less and think of others more. It's what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. Lord, less of me and more of you. That's our heart's desire. You know, before Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9, his name was Saul. Most of us know that. It said that he was possibly named after King Saul. But after he got saved, the Lord changed his name to Paul, and it means little or small. The Lord wanted to take this big, prideful man and make him small, make him little. You know, God rescued Saul because he hated Christians, and it was his aim to kill them. That's what he did. He was a prideful persecutor of the church, but God rescued Saul from himself and made him small, made him Paul. Paul needed something little He needed to become little. He needed something big to become little. He needed to be made small. You know, Paul thought too highly of himself, and the Lord took care of that. And the Lord has ways of doing that in our own life as well, doesn't he? Doesn't he have ways of putting us in our place, making us realize that we are nothing and he is everything? It should be our desire, as I said, to echo the words of John the Baptist. Lord, more of you and less of me. Through the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll see a humble Paul, not a prideful Paul. We'll see a humble Paul, a real Paul. Perhaps, as I said, the most vulnerable of all of his letters, in which Paul speaks of many of the difficulties in ministry and pleads with the church, saying in chapter 6, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own afflictions. Now in return, I speak to you as children. You also be open. He's pleading with them. Be open to the Lord. Be open to what we're telling you. I think one of the things I love most about Paul is he was so real and so honest. And here in 2 Corinthians, we will see a very vulnerable Paul, a very honest Paul, sharing about affliction, sharing about comfort and encouraging us. We will see in 2 Corinthians the man, Paul, very real. We will see in 2 Corinthians the ministry of Paul, the mission of Paul, the mind of Paul, and the method of Paul. For behind the ministry and the man and the mission and the mind of Paul is the mind of Christ, the person of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul is often referred to as the Energizer Bunny of the New Testament, and I agree. I mean, this guy takes a licking but keeps on ticking, right? I mean, he just will not die. Stone left for dead, drug out the city. Many believe he was dead. The church gathered around him, prayed. He revived, went back into the city. Shipwrecked, beaten by many, many people. Stoned and bitten by a snake. I mean, this guy just will not die. Isn't that encouraging? Like, it is not your time until it's your time, right? We'll discover Paul and who gave him this seemingly endless amount of energy and strength. Of course, we know it was the Holy Spirit. We'll also see Paul's comfort and how the Holy Spirit comforted Paul and then was able to give Paul that comfort through Paul, that comfort to other people as well. We'll see also the transforming power of God through Paul's conversion as a completely changed man. Throughout this book, we'll learn about sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus. We're in that. Glorification, the things that we have to look forward to in heaven. But the main theme, and what I want to share with you today for a moment, the main theme of this book that runs throughout this entire book is comfort and encouragement. As I prayed about what to share with you ladies today, I thought, well, I could just go through the book and do an overview of 2 Corinthians. That would be fine. I could tell you what's found in every chapter and the key, and I could talk to you about Paul. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share these two things with you this morning, comfort and encouragement. I believe that there are many here this morning that need encouragement and that need comfort. And I believe that the Lord would say to you today, it's available to you. Just for the asking, you have to go to Jesus to find it. You know, we as humans so often turn to other people, don't we? We turn to other people for comfort. We want somebody with skin on, don't we? It's difficult to turn to Jesus when we feel like it's not tangible, that we can't touch him and feel him. But he is there and he is real. And he is waiting for you. I'm finding the longer that I walk with Jesus, that he is truly all I need, and he's truly all I have. He is the only one that can supply all we need. He is the only one that truly understands how we feel. He's the only one that can comfort us in our difficult times. And he is the only one that will never leave us or forsake us. Well, we'll look more at this next week. But I want you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 right now. And I want you to follow along as I read in chapter 1 a couple of verses that I feel the Lord laid on my heart this morning. Yes, we do use our Bible here. Just want to let you know. It will be open every week, and we will be underlining and taking notes and marking and highlighting. I love to mark my Bible, just so you know. So if you're not a marker, you better get ready to go there. We need to mark our Bibles. Get a pen. Be expecting to hear from the Lord. So beginning in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Okay, if it's not already underlined in your Bible, I want you to underline just these words that I tell you, or box them, or whatever you like to do. I'm a boxer. Like, I'm not a boxer because that would be a dog, right? I love to put things in boxes because it stands out to me. So these are the words, the phrase that I want you to box. That we may be able to comfort. Right there. I want it to stick out to you. That we may be able to comfort towards the end. This is one of the reasons why God allows trials in our life, right here, that we may be able to comfort others. We are allowed to experience pain and suffering that we may be able to comfort. Be encouraged today that if you are in a difficult season of life, and I know many of you are, that there is a purpose. You may not see it now, but there is a purpose. There is a reason. How many of you have ever, and I speak of myself as well, gone through a storm in your life or a trial, only to discover that shortly after, God gave you an opportunity to extend that comfort to somebody else? I can't tell you how many of times this has happened to me. Doesn't that give you hope? When you know that there is purpose in your pain. It helps me to know that God cannot lie and that this promise is in the scriptures and that I'm going to hold on to this promise when I'm going through a time of trial, a difficult time, that God allows it that I may be able to comfort others. This brings me tremendous comfort myself and encouragement. And next week I will share with you about a difficult time in my own life that the Lord turned around and used for good that I may comfort somebody else. I know many of you have your own stories, and we could definitely probably spend an hour talking about that, and maybe you'll have an opportunity in your group to share a time that you were comforted. But we know that God cannot lie, and it helps us so much to know there is purpose in our pain, doesn't it? That there is a reason for the things that we go through, and that Jesus not only transforms us through it into his very image, he uses us. He makes me think of Joseph. What the enemy has tended for evil, God has turned and used for good. And that can even be with pain, because, you know, when we go through difficult times, we tend to either grow bitter or better. We have a choice to make. We can go down this road of bitterness, and we can go down this road of better and being used by God and allowing God to use those things in our life for His glory and His purposes. All how you look at it. And I know when you're in a trial, it's difficult to embrace it, but that's why we're here as sisters. We can come alongside and we can be that tangible Jesus with skin on, you know, and encourage you that there is purpose in your pain. So the first theme that runs throughout the whole book of 2 Corinthians is comfort. The second one is encouragement. And I'm really glad, because I like to encourage people. I was a cheerleader in high school and in college, and my inner cheerleader often comes out. You'll see it. I'll try not to do a cheer, but I really like to encourage people. And so I'm so blessed that this is one of the main themes of this book, and we will see Paul encouraging us through the whole book of 2 Corinthians. But in this book, you'll be encouraged to seek the presence of God. You will be encouraged to seek the transforming power of God. You will be encouraged to set your eyes and your hope on heaven. And you will be encouraged to stand firm and anchored in the Word of God. You know, our theme is the anchor. I'm wearing my anchor today. Isn't that pretty? And we chose the anchor because that is immovable. The anchor is what holds you, and you'll learn about it in your first lesson. It's what holds you and secures you. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is the one that keeps us from swaying, and that's exactly what a physical anchor does. It keeps us from swaying into seas that we shouldn't be going into, and it keeps us secure and firm and steady. And so we had chosen the anchor because that is Jesus. And whenever we need to be rooted and grounded, it's in the Word of God. It's deep, and that's what our desire is for you this year. The best part, as I said, of this is that I get to cheer you on and encouraging you as Paul encourages us. I get to then encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and to look at Him. And then when our focus is Jesus, everything else seems to, as that song says, grow strangely dim in light of His glory and grace. You know, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we can see the circumstances and everything else, but our focus isn't on them. But right when we look at those things that are on the outside, we can't see. Have you ever done that? Has anybody ever told you to do that? I used to do that with my students all the time in elementary school. Okay, focus on this and put your hands here, and you can see them here. But if I turn my head and look at my hand, I can no longer see my focus. So if our focus is on Jesus, everything here is there. It's just not our focus. But if we turn and look at our focus, if we turn and look at the things in our peripheral view, we completely lose sight of our focus. So we need to make sure this year, and we are all your cheerleaders, we're going to encourage you to keep your focus on Jesus. You know, it seems that our best lessons in life come after a great trial, and we tend to grow, or I have personally, tend to grow the most in my walk with the Lord after a trial, after a time of suffering or pain or some great trial that I've gone through. But Paul suffered more than anybody in the New Testament. Yet he was able to say some amazing, encouraging words. And I want you to flip one page to chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 8. Let's see what he says to us when he was going through some tremendous times. Verse 8 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed." Underline "not crushed." I told you, I'm a marker. "We are perplexed, but not in despair." Underline "not in despair." "Struck down, but not destroyed." Underline "not destroyed." "Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered in death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Underline that last sentence, "that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Do you get what he's saying here? He's saying, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. He's saying, don't be in despair. I'm not crushed. I'm not in despair. I'm struck down. I'm perplexed. All these things, but I'm not crushed. I'm not in despair. I'm not destroyed. That I go through all of this, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in me. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of all this. Paul says, all the pain, all the suffering, all the hardship, the heartache, all the dying to the flesh, it's not going to destroy me. It's not going to crush me. It's going to transform me. That is what it does, into the very image of Jesus Christ. Because trials bring triumph, and death brings life, and pain brings perspective, and suffering brings about surrender. And that's what Jesus wants. That's all he wants. A completely surrendered life. You know, surrender doesn't come in an instant. It comes in a life. Elizabeth Elliot said, one does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime. It takes a long time. Paul the Apostle is a prime example of this process of surrender. It took 5 years, and I would say, man, he learned really quickly. But in 1 Corinthians 5:9, this is what Paul said, I am the least of the apostles. 4 years later, in Ephesians 3:8, he says, I am less than the least of the saints. And finally, a year after that, in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, I am chief sinners. 5 years that he went from I am the least to I am chief. Wow, I would say he learned quickly. I've been going at this 27 years, and I don't think I'm there yet, but I would like to be there. Paul was a quick learner, but it took him being humbled to do so. There were many times that Paul was discouraged and beaten down, but the Lord always lifted him up and gave him courage to continue in his calling. Are you discouraged today? Be encouraged. You're not alone. You're in good company. We're all discouraged. If I had to raise your hand, anybody discouraged today? Does anybody need comfort today? Call upon the only one who can comfort you. Warren Wiersbe said, discouragement is no respecter of persons. The seasoned saint, as well as the beginning believer, can suffer periods of discouragement. In fact, discouragement seems to attack the successful more than the unsuccessful. For the higher we climb, the further down we fall. We are all human, and we're all susceptible to discouragement. Paul was discouraged. He had planted this church in Corinth. And after a year and a half of being there and just really helping those believers and getting them deeply rooted in the scriptures and training them, we learned last year, in the things of the church and what's right and what's wrong and just going through that whole church leadership thing. He did that after a year and a half of being there. Paul moved on to other cities in his journeys, and it was reported that serious problems were going on in this church after he left. So he sent Timothy to deal with that, and that's when he wrote 1 Corinthians. Then things got even worse after that, and he had to make a painful visit to Corinth to confront some troublemakers. Still, with no solution, he wrote a severe letter, which was delivered by Titus, and we don't know where it is. It's not found in the scriptures. It's spoken of in the scriptures. It's just not found in the scriptures. So if we really were looking at how many letters Paul wrote, this could be called, 3 Corinthians, because he wrote another letter in between 1st and 2nd. It's just, it must have been really severe because it's not in the scriptures. But after Titus returned to Paul, after that severe letter, he finally got good news. And that's when he wrote 2 Corinthians. He wrote 2 Corinthians to encourage the believers in several areas, to forgive and restore some members that were troublemakers, to enforce his authority as an apostle. because that was still being questioned, and to encourage them to share in aid in these other churches that he was visiting. You know, none of us is exempt from discouragement. It's part of the process. The question is, what do we do with it? As I said, we have a choice with discouragement. We can grow bitter or we can grow better. It's a choice. Well, this year, Paul's going to be our cheerleader. He's going to encourage us to forgive others, to be the fragrance of Christ, to be a good example in the world, to be bold. And he's going to encourage us not to lose heart. And this is where we're going to end today. In chapter 4, still there, verse 16. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory." Paul would say to you and to me today, hang in there. Hang in there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That focus, don't get him off of my focus, because when you do, you cannot see Jesus anymore. And be continually in the Word of God, and you will soon see God working in your life and through your life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these gals. I ask that you would encourage anybody today that came in discouraged. Anybody that needs comfort, God, I pray this morning that your words would have gone forth and fallen upon hearts that are ready to receive it. I pray that these ladies would focus their eyes and their attention upon you today, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we ask that you would bless the remainder of our time together in our groups, Lord, and that our conversation would be edifying unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.